Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you've joined me and invite you to stay with me for the next hour or so as we continue our ongoing study of the New Testament in 2016. Today, for our consideration, we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But before we do that, as always, we want to begin our program with a look at things that are going on around us. And first, I want to mention an event that actually concluded yesterday evening in Tyler, Texas, at the Broadway Church of Christ. And that is the annual Searching the Scriptures Forum. I was able to actually attend this event on Tuesday evening and also listen into the live broadcast here on TGRN on Monday. And what an outstanding event that was. Certainly a great appreciation to the brethren there at the Broadway congregation. They do a great service with this forum that they have every year, Searching the Scriptures. The panelists were Brother Don Hatch, Brother Richard Johnson, and Brother Clay Williams, and they did an outstanding job studying and presenting biblical answers to some very difficult questions. And I hope that you will avail yourself, because if you are not able to attend or to tune in to the live broadcast, please remember that these are in the on-demand section here of the Gospel Radio Network, on-demand section. And I encourage you, when you have opportunity, to go to the on-demand section, look for the Searching the Scriptures forum, and then to tune in and listen to these outstanding forum questions and answers that they dealt with. I also want to note appreciation to Brother Jim Laws, who served as the moderator, and what a great event that was. And we look forward to, again, attending that next year, and also to being a part and able to broadcast that here on TGRN. Want to also mention that tonight is the last night of a gospel meeting in San Angelo, Texas, at the 9th and Main Church of Christ. The speaker is Brother Omari French. And so, if you have the opportunity to be in the San Angelo, Texas area this evening, be sure to attend the last night of this gospel meeting at the 9th and Main Church of Christ. And also, want to express appreciation to the 9th and Main congregation for their support of TGRN and the fantastic program that comes out of there every weekday, a live program from 11:30 to 12:30 here on TGRN, and that being Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. This is a very popular program, and I hope that if you've not been listening to that, that you'll take the opportunity now to tune in to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. There is going to be, coming up on September the 27th, the Great Debate of 2016. And that is going to be on the campus of Ohio State University. And this is also being sponsored by the Warren Christian Apologetics Center. That's going to take place at 6:30 p.m. that evening. There's going to be a number of ways to tune into this telecast or listen in if you're not going to be able to attend. And I encourage you to visit thegreatdebate2016.com for more information about how to be a part of this great debate on the existence of God. We have a number of events coming up in October. And on October the 1st, from 9 to 2, that is a Saturday, the Edgewood Church of Christ in Edgewood, Texas, will be having their annual Ladies' Day. The congregation is located on the east side of town near the Edgewood School, and that is on Highway 80 U.S. Highway 80 in Edgewood, Texas. The speaker is going to be Sister Carla Sparks with the topic of Fill My Cup, and that is going to begin at 9 a.m. on October the 2nd. Also, if you're in the Northeast Texas area, the Titus County Fair is going to run September 8 through October the 2nd. And if you happen to be able to attend that, we encourage you to come by, as the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant and the Mount Vernon congregation are going to have booths set up there together next to each other. And they're going to be handing out tracts and materials, and we would love for you to come by and see us and visit with us for a few minutes. I know that we will be there some of that time, and also the good brethren from North Jefferson. And also, we will be sharing information about the Gospel Radio Network. And so I hope that you will tell your friends about it to come by and to learn more about TGRN. That's the Titus County Fair, running September 28th to October the 2nd. And also, then a week after that, if you're in the Mount Vernon area, the Country Fest celebration in the downtown area of Mount Vernon. Again, the Mount Vernon congregation and the Gospel Radio Network will be set up there with a booth, and will be handing out tracts and information. Hopefully, maybe even establishing some Bible studies with individuals and spreading news about the Gospel Radio Network. So drop by and see us if you're in Mount Vernon on October the 8th. The New Boston Church of Christ in New Boston, Texas is going to be having a gospel meeting running October the 1st through the 5th. This will begin on Saturday, October 1st, with an evangelism seminar. And then the meeting will continue through the 5th and dealing with various topics surrounding evangelism. The speaker is going to be Brother Mike Price. And for more information about this exciting gospel meeting, you can call 903-628-2891. That's 903-628-2891. 2891. Ladies, coming up October the 6th through 8th is the Texas Ladies in Christ retreat that will be held at the heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas. This is a great event for ladies, an opportunity to spend time with your Christian family, to grow and become stronger in the Word. And you'll also have the added treat. It is my understanding, now I can't verify this with 100% accuracy, but ladies, if you attend this event, the rumor is that Brother Ryan Smithy here from TGRN is going to be doing a good portion of the cooking. And I know that you will not want to miss the opportunity to enjoy a meal that has been prepared by Brother Smithy. Now, I can't say exactly what he might be cooking, but I'm sure it will be good. So make plans to attend, ladies, in all seriousness, the Texas Ladies in Christ. You can go to the website, Texas Ladies in Christ, and though the time for registration is past, I believe it is still possible that you can get in. You may not be able to get some of the t-shirts and things like that due to the lateness, but you would still want to attend if you can find a way. And so visit www.texasladiesinchrist.org for more information. Also, on October the 22nd, the North Jefferson congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas, will be hosting their annual Ladies Day on that Saturday, and that'll begin at 9:30. And Sister Holly McCormick from Atlanta, Texas, will be the speaker. She will do a great job. She is an excellent speaker. And I know that you will benefit, ladies, by attending this Ladies' Day at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. They have hosted this day for a number of years, and I always hear great things about it each year. And finally, on our bulletin board this morning, I want to remind you, it's a little ways out, but I want you to make plans to attend, and you can start doing that now, marking it on your calendar. Don't fill it up with other things, because we want you to attend the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. That's going to be on Saturday, November the 5th, and Sunday, November the 26th. This will be throughout the day on Saturday. We'll also have a banquet and meal for our those who support the network, whether you support it as a broadcaster, a congregation, an individual, or even through your prayers. We want you to attend. We're so grateful for all of those that are helping to bring about the work that takes place through TGRN. The Lord has blessed this work in the last 3 years now, and we pray that it be the Lord's will that we'll continue this for many years. And we want to spend this time together at the third annual Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet to be held at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. That'll be November 5th and 6th. Okay, we're going to turn our attention now to our ongoing study of the New Testament that is taking place every weekday. And if the Lord wills and things go according to our plan on the last weekday of December, we will finish the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And so today, for our consideration, we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's letter, second letter to the brethren in Thessalonica. Now, as we consider this, we see that Paul speaks here in chapter 2 of great apostasy, a great falling away. And so we pick up in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, as you recall from yesterday's discussion, that the Apostle Paul, there in chapter 1, had addressed the second coming or the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we move into the second chapter, Paul desires for us to make sure that before that happens, that we are not deceived by false teachers, especially about the timing of when our Lord will return. Now, the scripture makes it very clear that there's not going to be a forewarning of the Lord's return. Sadly, the false teachers through the ages have tried over and over to predict the date. And we should understand that when one tells us when the Lord is going to return, we should immediately realize that is a false teacher. For not even the Lord Jesus himself knows when that will come, for the Father has reserved that decision for himself. But even in Paul's day, there were men already at work attempting to predict or forecast when the Lord was going to return. Now, Paul never said that the return of the Lord was at hand. Paul did not know when this was going to take place. Paul only knew that we needed to be prepared. False teachers and false doctrines will cause a weak brother to be shaken like a reed in the wind. You see, false doctrines of this nature troubles and shakes the mind of the weak or the babe in Christ. And it is important today that we, especially elders, that we do not allow such individuals to trouble the saints today. And we must not allow the false teacher to trouble the saints in any form or fashion of false doctrine. The saints were not to be troubled by spirit or deceiver. In fact, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 stated, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Too often today we fail to test the spirits as if they are of God. And as a result of this, many are deceived today in this present age. Many have been led astray. And we find that the consequences of that are so destructive. In verse 3, Paul said to let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Paul warns us to not be deceived by anyone, by any way or reason or means. And we need to understand that this should not happen. And the only way that it can happen is if we do not have the knowledge of truth and are not living it. Now the brethren in Thessalonica, there was no need for them to be shaken, for they were armed with knowledge. They had truth, for indeed the apostle had taught them everything, and he had held nothing back that was profitable for them. And because of that, there would be no reason for their faith to be stripped away by any false teacher. And brethren, we certainly have no excuse today. For the book that you hold in your hand is the complete and thorough Word of God. The Holy Spirit had searched the mind of God and gave to the inspired writers the complete and full truth. And so we have all truth. The Godhead has done its part, and we must do ours, our part being to take that word and to simply eat it up, to thoroughly digest it, and then to live it. Paul warned in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now Paul points out something that would take place before the Lord returns, that there would be an apostasy or a falling away from the truth. Paul was very fearful that the people would be swayed by the various false doctrines that were swirling about concerning the return of the Lord Jesus. Paul desired for the brethren to stay true to that which the apostles had taught them, so that they would not fade away or fall away. Sadly, many men in Paul's day, and so many in this present age, often accept false doctrines, And they continue to believe themselves to be faithful Christians. And this is so sad and so prevalent through denominationalism. It entraps so many good people with fatal error that they do not see often. Or even worse, they see and fail to do anything about it. But it's not just in the realm of denominationalism. For even in the precious blood-bought church of our Lord Jesus Christ, division is rapidly increasing. It is rapidly increasing over the growing acceptance of false doctrines today. And this is due to the lack of study and understanding of the Word in many cases, and in some cases, it's perhaps even worse, those who understand but simply do not have the courage to stand for truth in a society that is full of itching ears. It seems that itching ears is a disease that affects every generation. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul taught that there would be a future apostasy at some point in time, but Paul did not say when or it was going to take place. Paul also pointed out that the son of perdition, or man of sin, will also appear before the coming of the Lord. Paul, however, does not name this individual, but obviously it would be one who is extremely sinful. Perdition is simply another word for destruction. And this son of perdition will be revealed. It points out this, that the son of perdition would be recognizable when he comes. And now, over the course of the ages, men have on a number of occasions attempted to set themselves up to be equal to deity. Some have claimed to be deity, Nero being one example. But every time this happens, it has always failed and always been met with destruction. Apostasy, or falling away, has been prevalent through all of the ages, but there is no reason for it to be that way. There's no reason that any should fall away, because the New Testament has warned us repeatedly against falling into that trap. Again, consider the words of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Also consider the 20th chapter of Acts, beginning in verse 25, here again, warning against these ravenous wolves. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you that this day, that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we see there, as we noted in Matthew 7 a moment ago, the Lord warning us. Here was the Apostle Paul warning those in Ephesus. He's warned those in Thessalonica. People, the church, has truly been warned. Again, let's look to Paul's warning now to Timothy, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll pick up in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Now we could go on for a long time to many other warnings concerning the potential for apostasy, but I think we get the picture. And so now, back to our text here in verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The who referred to here is the man of sin. the son of perdition from the previous verses. We see that this son of perdition attempts to take and to claim for his own what belongs only to God. We've seen this in a number of those through history. He desires to be worshipped and sets himself up as a god and causes many to look upon him as a god. You know, we recall the emperor worship in Japan in World War II. The emperor was set up as a god, and one of the reasons so many fanatically would give their lives for him was their belief that he indeed was a deity. Now, we cannot be dogmatic in our assumptions. The descriptions given here do fit well with the apostate Roman Catholic doctrine. It does seem to fit well with the authority in which they place with their pope. As this was beginning to rise in those early days, as they began to set up certain ones over broader areas, ones claiming authority and eventually to an ultimate authority in the pope. The pope is certainly exalted above all other men, and he is an object and willing recipient of the worshipers of his, the worship of his subjects. And he has certainly set himself up as a god with a supreme authority in all matters. We can watch even today as our current individual who holds this position, we see him changing long-held manners of Catholic practice in many areas of their social conduct, and it becomes law to a Catholic. For he is set up as the vicar of Christ on earth, the very representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to those of the Catholic faith. Yes, indeed, the Pope is reigning in his church, for he does reign in the Catholic Church, but Jesus Christ reigns in his church. He has reigned in his church since Pentecost, and he reigns today. In fact, Daniel in chapter 2 said this kingdom would stand forever. You see, the Pope did not pay the price. The Pope did not shed his blood for the salvation of his church. Isn't it odd that they claim Peter to be the first pope, but the Apostle Peter denied any such preeminence? We have example of where the Apostle Peter rejected worship, which the Pope now would readily accept. But as Paul penned this, the son of perdition had not yet revealed himself. But it certainly was not a long time after this before the Catholic papal system would rise up, setting a man above Christ. Indeed, how sinful can one get to set themselves up as Christ? To set oneself above Christ and to usurp the authority of Jesus Christ as head. To receive worship to self while at the same time deceiving and apostatizing millions across the course of time. In verse 5 we read, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Paul had already told them these things were going to happen. And now he makes it even more clear that these things were going to come upon them. It would be things they would have to deal with before the Lord returns. Now, as to why it would take some time for these events to occur has been debated through the centuries. And there have been a numerous thoughts concerning this, but whatever the reason, they were going to occur, and it would in the not too distant future. But these were things that must happen before the Lord would return, but it did not say that they were immediately preceding the return of the Lord. While the Roman government was slowly decaying from within and moving towards the eventual fall of the Roman Empire in 476 AD, the Roman apostates had departed from truth long time before, and they were beginning to build their power base among men, because people who did not know the Scripture would fall to their false doctrines and be ensnared by them. In fact, by the time that the civil government of Rome had collapsed, the Roman Catholic Church had gained great power, and they held great influence over men. And their rule would be one of great authority for centuries. In fact, it went with little challenge until the Reformation and those like Martin Luther began to challenge the authorities of Rome. After those like Paul and the other apostles had passed away from the scene, there were going to be few who would have courage and willingness to stand against the apostate church. And as we look back now at history, we see the result of what happens when men begin to elevate men out and above the eldership which God has established. When they leave God's plan for the church to be operated in the wind, these men will begin to accumulate and amass power. And we see that result even today on scales smaller than the Catholic hierarchy. We see churches with single pastors. We see certain groups with bishops over large areas, ideals that are completely foreign to the Scripture. The pastoral system has become so commonplace that it is accepted without thought, but nothing could be more further from the biblical teaching. In verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The seed had already been sown for the coming apostasy. It had already begun. It would be restrained for a while, but soon those restraints would all be removed. Now, that restraining force, whether that was God holding it back or the work of those faithful apostles and other great men of that time, or perhaps even the civil authorities, we don't know exactly, but for whatever it was not going to be permanently restrained. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. At the coming of the Lord, the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be destroyed by the Lord. Now this would indicate that we're talking about more than one individual, since we're talking about what at this point is several thousand years and counting. But yet we see an entire succession or parade of the popes. The string of the Roman authority is well documented. But in essence and in principle, anyone who has lifted themselves up against God as God would fit the bill here. And it said they will be consumed with the breath of his mouth, the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, we're told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, the man of sin, his only power is under the power of Satan, for he is a liar. Satan is the father of all lies. He is a fake. We read from time to time in the news or watch on television as Catholicism claims various miracles occurring from time to time, and such as bleeding paintings or figurines. And if we go back to Exodus, we see the Egyptians in the day of Pharaoh claim similar things. But even the greatest magicians then or today cannot duplicate the greatest miracles of Moses. Only the smaller ones, through magic or trickery, not reality. The apostate church has claimed to be the true church, yet they are quickly exposed by the light. And the Catholic system and all other false doctrines, false systems, will be consumed and destroyed by our Lord Jesus at his coming. Verse 10 says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie." How sad we think of so many young people today being deceived by Islam and unrighteous deception, and they believe the lie at the cost of a soul. Those who lead apostasy in any age will use any way they can to draw away followers from the true church. They will attempt to use any form of deception or trickery to further their cause. But we should not be surprised, and we should not be held captive by these things, for the Bible warns repeatedly against being deceived. But sadly, so much of the world around us has fallen to these deceptions, and many people quite unknowingly. But make no mistake. We are all held accountable, and we have been warned against deceivers. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How precious is truth? Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." And also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We certainly, as mentioned earlier, have the ability to identify false teachers if we will but spend the time in the Word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 again says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You will only be able to identify a deceiver, a false teacher, by learning and knowing and applying the Word of God. And understand that it is nobody's fault but your own if you do not take the time to learn what the Word teaches us regarding any situation. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Any individual that truly loves Jesus will learn his word in order to be able to keep the commandments, because that is what one who loves Jesus will do. Verse 12 says that they may all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The man that sets his heart upon following evil will do so. And just as assuredly, a man who sets his heart upon righteousness will follow righteousness. Paul is talking about those who did not believe the truth, those who had no desire to believe the truth, but they were getting their reward. They were getting what they wanted in this life. The reality is, for them and so many today, is they had no care about their eventual reward. And because of this, that eventual reward was certainly going to be hell fires. Recall chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, talking about those that do not know God or do not obey the gospel. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. To take pleasure in unrighteousness is a certain recipe for eternal destruction. Those who take pleasure in unrighteousness, of a surety, will be called to task concerning their actions. Remember the words of the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." As we reach verse 13 now, Paul encourages the brethren to stand fast. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Paul here expresses his thankfulness for the Thessalonian brethren, reminding them of Jesus' love for them. God has desired that all men be saved, and thus has extended the to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ calls us to glory of our, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ calls us to come out of the world of sin and into the marvelous light of Christ. Consider Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." John reveals to us a little bit of the glory of the Lord that we should find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In verse 15, he said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle." The brethren are encouraged here to stand strong, to be courageous in the face of an evil world. We understand that traditions can be good or bad, but here they are in the good sense. They were to hold on to the things of Christ, the things they had been taught. They were neither to veer to the left or to the right, but stand strong in the Word of God. This is not referring to the traditions of men which the Judaizers had insisted on. We're to hold fast to the purity of the Word. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish in you every good word and work. Paul desired for the church in Thessalonica to be comforted in the comfort that comes only from the Lord and the Father by his grace. He desires for them to be filled with truth and to be fruitful in every good work. He encourages them to a higher plane of spiritual maturity. But this was Paul's wish for the church wherever they met then and today. We should seek to follow the instruction of Paul and to be established in every good work and word. It is beneficial because it moves us on the path toward heaven, the one that we should desire for ourselves and for all men. And so, my friends, let us persevere and keep on fighting the good fight and await that crown of righteousness with all hope and expectation. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." And the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Oh, what great lessons from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Be sure and tune in tomorrow as our study continues. Tomorrow it'll be the third chapter of the second letter to the Thessalonians. Thank you for joining me this morning. Hope to see you again next time if the Lord wills. And be sure to stay tuned through the rest of the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. And until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a wonderful day.